The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's jumping from Aaron Foss-Lass, accompanied by all of the racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So three meetings to go at. Do tune in for all of that right now, though. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yep, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. Right, we'll start with the big news over the weekend. Huge announcement from the 19-time champion jockey AP McCoy. He's going to retire by the end of the season. What was your reaction when you first heard it?
Slightly surprised he's announced it now, because obviously it's still a fair way ahead of the season. We've still got Cheltenham, Aintree, etc. to go. And obviously this is what people are going to be talking about now, really, until the rest of the end of the season. Obviously, I was his 200th winner on Mr. Mole, so it was quite another landmark achievement to get a 200 up once again. Race on Channel 4. I think Rishi Prasad was probably the one that's most shocked when he was asking the question, because he certainly wasn't expecting that kind of response. But yeah, he's the best. I think it's right that he goes out while he's still riding at the best of his game. He doesn't want to be risking that one year he might not be champion. And yeah, 20 years at the top, had a lot of injuries, still managed to be champion despite all his injuries. He is a machine, but I'd say everyone has to retire at some point. And 20 consecutive championships, it would be a good way to retire.
It would, yeah. And the scenes at Leopardstown on Sunday when he won the Hennessy Gold Cup for the first time were remarkable. It just shows how much he means to everybody in the sport, really, doesn't it? The number of people around the winners enclosure was remarkable to see. It'll be a massive hole, really, won't they, in the future of jumps racing, because 6 years old I was when he was first crowned jumps
champion. Yeah, he is basically jockey. In recent times, obviously, got to go back now 20 years for a previous champion. And we'll open it up again because, like I say, generally, we know before the season starts that AP is going to be champion and Richard Johnson's probably going to follow him home.
Yeah.
It would be nice, I think, if Richard Johnson could actually get a championship. But obviously, the 200 winners that McCoy rides, they're going to be filled by somebody else. And generally, Richard Johnson's probably not going to be picking up any of those. So it will be interesting. I hope Richard Johnson does get a championship at some point, but it's going to be very competitive because we've got a lot of jockeys, Jason Maguire, Sam Twiston Davis, that will be really not far behind. And obviously interesting to see who rides most of the JP McManus horses from now on. So in that respect, racing's actually going to have probably an exciting alternative, because we haven't talked about jockey championship such a long time, because we know McCoy's always going to win it. So that's going to be open, and like I say, we've got a lot of jockeys there that will be fighting out for it.
We'll come back to that in a moment, because we're going to go through the Monday jury and the last couple of questions surround that result and AP McCoy's retirement. So we'll come back to that in a moment. Just before we do, though, James, as a retired jockey yourself, I know there was
slightly golfing class. Yeah, of us.
I think there was this much hype when you announced your retirement, weren't there? What advice would you give to the champ?
Advice from me. To be fair, I know he wants to go out on a winner, and I was lucky enough to go out on a winner myself, and that is pretty good. Obviously, he's got a few more horses that he can kind of plan which one he's going to win with. But sometimes it isn't the easiest thing to do. Basically, to just enjoy it and go out there, and because obviously you know it's coming to an end. Which for McCoy, he says himself, it's going to be very, very hard for him to replicate what he's done in the past. And he says he doesn't really feel like he's ever done a day's work in his life, because what he's doing is what he enjoys the most. So it's going to be tough for him in that respect. But by announcing it early, everyone's given him a chance to see exactly how much they appreciate him, which I think even he will be slightly surprised, because he doesn't really recognise some of the plaudits that he gets sometimes. And I think Hennessy Adeyase would have surprised him a little bit how popular he was, because obviously generally all his big wins have been in the UK. He hasn't really won that many big races in Ireland. Obviously that was the first Hennessy he won yesterday, so I think that would have surprised him a little bit. But like I say, he's a real credit to the sport, and it's nice for the sport to be getting some headlines outside the racing industry, and positive headlines, which was nice.
Okay, well, let's move on to the Monday, Jory. The first question surrounds one of Saturday's big winners. If you owned Koenigsegg, would you go for gold, or would you settle for the RSHS? I think that's a little bit of a loaded question, really, because it's not really settling for the RSA. He's a novice with a very good chance of winning it, and that would be the natural progression, wouldn't it? So
yeah, in a normal year, I would say definitely go RSA, because once you're only a novice for 1 year, you can always step up. But for me, this year's Gold Cup, it looks very poor. Nothing really stands out for me. Savanio Conti, would he stay at a 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs, which he didn't last year? Koenigsegg set a searching pace around Kempton. His times were quicker than the King George when he won the Grade 1 novice. Nothing stands out. Lord Windermere, I thought he ran a nice race yesterday. But for me, this is probably 1 year like last year where I think we're going to get a bunch finish up the hill. And Koenigsegg could well be better than anything we've got for the Gold Cup. I particularly don't actually fancy anything for the Gold Cup. So if he goes, I'd certainly be supporting Koenigsegg. As well, you've got to consider he had 2 years off the track. So he's obviously a little bit fragile. He's at his peak now. This may be his only chance to win the Gold Cup. Obviously,
he's missed
a couple of years. And you only get one chance to win a Gold Cup. And the RSA has a reputation of destroying a few horses' careers. Very rarely does the RSA winner actually go on. So for me, I probably would be going Gold Cup myself if I own Koenigsegg, and I think he's a very, very decent horse.
Okay, I've got betting for both of them up here. Koenigsegg in the RSA Chase is the 4-1 favourite now, and for the Gold Cup, he's currently 16-1.
Yeah, I think 16-1 is a crack in each way bet. Obviously, at the minute, we don't know where he's going to go, and I think Connections will keep both races open for as long as possible, but at the minute, nothing really stands out in the Gold Cup for me, so it will be, if I owned him, I'd be going for Gold Cup.
Okay, I do disagree with you slightly as well with regards to the RSA horses not going on.
Okay.
In recent years, Lord Windermere won the RSA before the Gold Cup. Bobsworth did the same. Denman did the same.
Yeah, but no, I still, for novice, it's quite hard, but I don't know. For me, I will go Gold Cup. You only get one Gold Cup, so I'll be going that way.
Okay. How do you see the champion chase in the wake of the Game Spirit?
It's even more open than ever, isn't it, really? Yeah. Because every time Sprinter Sakura or this one, Sider Grigio, comes back, they disappoint. Sider Grigio disappointed a lot more than what Sprinter Sakura did. Obviously, he had a setback. He wasn't going to be at peak fitness, but it was more the mistakes he made. He was very, very keen. Nothing went right at all, and it was a really poor prep. Sprinter Sakura had a nice run around, wasn't given a hard time by Barry Geraghty, and you'd imagine he's going to come on for that run. Sider Grigio, how is he going to progress from that? And that is a concern, and hopefully he comes back sound because he has had a slight injury, and it'll be interesting to see how he is. Mr. Mole has been a bit of a revelation because, let's face it, I remember he was winning around Newton Abbott, I think, at about 21 on, and he was unimpressive. McCoy didn't really enjoy riding him. He said the horse had no desire to win races, but he seems to have been turned around this year, and very similar to Dodging Bullets, the other Nichols horse, in that both of them seem revitalised, and they are the form horses if you go on the 2014-2015 form. We don't know what level Sprinter Sakura and Sider Grigio are going to achieve. It makes it an exciting race. Betting-wise, I think it's very, very clouded, but probably I would just edge for Dodging Bullets, I think, at the moment. He's been there, won the Jingle Creek, beat Sprinter Sakura at Ascot. For me, he's probably the more slightly solid one, but confidence would be very high in Mr. Mole, and I wouldn't rule him out. I couldn't back Sider Grigio on the back of that performance at Newbury. I probably could back Sprinter Sakura, but I would be edging towards Dodging Bullets value-wise, I think.
Okay, yeah. On paper, he has been the best.
This year, he's the best, yeah, definitely.
Sprinter Sakura 2-1, by the way. Dodging Bullets 9-2, 6-1 for Sider Grigio. Champagne Fever 13-2. Mr. Mole now 10-1. The fact that he's 10s for the champion chase is remarkable, considering, as you mentioned, his career a few months ago.
Well, yeah,
you wouldn't
have
give him a chance, would you? And 14-1 or bigger prices for the others.
More the 2 mile handicap, yeah. If any races for Cheltenham for him, and like I say, he's really, really improved. I think it's also a symptom of the fact how weak perhaps the division is slightly, because the bare form isn't that strong, because Sider Grigio was disappointing, and the second and third horses were not anywhere near champion chase class, so he does need to improve again, but confidence high, and you never know what they can do when they've got the confidence high.
Okay, moving on to the third question. Do you give Vibrato Valtat any chance of beating Underso in the Arkle?
No, ultimately. Undersakura is a machine. I think lots of people are going to get frightened from running in the Arkle. I think the only way he'll get beat is if you've got three or four horses that are going flat out, that are basically destroying their own chances and destroy his, because I think in a small field, any horse that tries to go his pace at the beginning, they're not going to keep going. He's just very, very impressive. Jumping, perhaps a slight issue at Cheltenham, but for me, him and Peace & Co are my two bankers for the meet, and I do really like the William Mullins horse. For right about that, he hasn't, again, another Nichols horse that was saying last year, resolution was questioned, never found anything off the bridle. Sam Twiston Davis read him with real kid gloves at the start of the season, and probably left him far too much to do in the two-mile novice chase, and people who kind of supported Sam said, look, you have to ride him like that because he finds nothing like a bridle. Yet, the last couple of times, he's actually quickened, which he never ever used to do. He won the bridle at Warwick, but he beat a nice horse that was back in second, strong form. In a normal year, I think he'd have a chance in the Arkle, but I do think Indusir is very, very decent. And to be fair, if Indusir was going for the champion chase, I'd really fancy him for that. So I think realistically he might struggle to beat him, but it gives him an alternative. And like I say, again, another horse winning in real good winning form, sometimes that confidence, you don't know how far they can go. But for me, the William Mullins horse is the one to be with.
Could that be a surprise at the festival? Like maybe Undersur goes to the champion chase and the William Mullins as Vittoria's his main hope in the Arkle?
Yeah, to be fair, that wouldn't be a surprise because, as discussed in that earlier question, nothing is standing out in a champion chase. And again, you always remember generally which one won a champion chase, which won a Gold Cup. The novices, slightly lower class. I think if you've got 1 year where you think you can probably win the big one, probably because he came down first time out, they may be a little bit more tentative and they may just want to stick the novice route with Indusir. But like I say, I think he's a really, really decent horse and a proper machine.
Yeah, 4-7 to win the Arkle as well. Undusir, Vibrato Valtat is 6-1, 8 for Vittor, Jossie's Hill 12s, 14s for Clarkham, and Petty Zieg, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Can yesterday's Grade 1 hurdle winners Nichols Canyon or Petit Parisien win at Cheltenham?
Probably not. Obviously, both of them were a little bit of a surprise. Nichols Canyon was a very useful flat horse, rated 111, so you certainly wouldn't rule out further improvement from him. The novice hurdles are very, very tricky because, A, William Mullins is so strong in those departments, and even though which one's the best of his, and to be fair, nothing has really stood out in any of the divisions for me. I think it's going to be very, very competitive. They're going to be probably the hardest winners to find, I think, out of the main championship kind of races, the Grade 1 novice hurdles. I'd say Peace & Co would be my banker in a triumph, but the older horse novice hurdles, I really have no strong opinions on any of them, to be fair. So, interesting. Obviously, Petit Parisien wasn't even a number one string yesterday. Beat Cal Keir, who a couple of times now he's disappointed. And he was, I think I remember, I was making the studio at the start of the season, he was their number one triumph horse, and he hasn't proved that. So, whether that means the Irish triumph division is a little bit weaker, perhaps, than the English, probably one of the few races where we do seem to have a stronger hand, I think he might just struggle. But, like I say, just cracking Cheltenham Festival to look forward to.
Yes, and from what I understand after the weekend, Petit Parisien and Calquier will both go to the triumph, so Mullins will be doubly handed there at least. How do you assess the Hennessy Gold Cup with one eye on Cheltenham and one eye on Aintree?
Lord Windermere I was impressed with, coming third, ran much better than last year. Much better than we did at Christmas. He does seem to peak when he comes to Cheltenham, so for me that was a really, really good run from him. I would imagine he'll improve plenty when he comes to Cheltenham again. Will it be enough to win back-to-back Gold Cups? I thought he won a very weak Gold Cup last year. If Paul Nichols has just got a little bit more stamina into Savanio Conti, I think he will reverse the form. But, like I say, I certainly wouldn't rule out Koenigry if he does go for the Gold Cup, because, like I say, the way he does it is very impressive and he's got stamina to burn. So Koenigry would interest me more at the weekend for the Gold Cup than any of the ones that I saw in Ireland. But Lord Windermere, cracking run. I think Connections will be really happy with that. And he's got an excellent chance. Carnifford Lock is improving. Whether he's just quite classy enough to win a Gold Cup, I'm not so sure.
He did stay on very well, though, so it's coming up that hill at Cheltenham shouldn't be too
should
much
help
of a problem.
Him. Yeah. And he does seem to be improving, because to be fair, he wasn't on my radar at all for the Gold Cup. So, bit of a surprise yesterday. Maybe he just keep on progressing.
Yeah, he's 12-1 now as well. And the final question, what would you like to say about Tony McCoy's career and his retirement announcement? We've already touched on it, but how would you sum it up in a nice little box for the Monday jury?
Well, just going to be 20 times champion. Never said die attitude. The thing which McCoy stands out is that he treats a seller as a grade one, whereas every other top jockey would be like just to take the money when you're riding low grade, whereas McCoy will give it the ride of his life, and that's where he stands out. His will to win is amazing, and will to come back from injury, will to reduce the time on the sidelines to the real bare minimum. Most jockeys hate being off, but McCoy takes that to the extreme. I mean, he's been riding in masks to protect a fractured cheekbone, and most people would still be in bed and not contemplating doing anything. He's back on the horses and back racing, so that will to win is just something that no one else has. I think in any sport, never mind horse racing, that's why he's kind of crossed the barrier into the normal sporting cycle a little bit. But yeah, just a very, very good jockey and a very nice person with it as well. And that's probably just as important.
Yeah, it is, yes. The bit with what you said about coming back from injuries and stuff like that, he obviously had one very recently. He broke a collarbone, didn't he, and punctured a lung. I was listening to him yesterday on an interview, and the stuff that he was saying there, he was doing press-ups.
He broke it again.
Yeah, and he was doing press-ups in front of the doctor to suggest he was okay. And just wouldn't let them know that he was still in pain.
That's the thing, like, he actually came back too soon.
Yeah.
But because he wanted that 300 to retire on getting the 300, and this year was, up until that injury, it was his best ever chance of doing it. And that's where I think it really did just demoralise him a little bit. And he just tried to ride through the pain, and he got close. But like I say, in the end, he had to take a couple of weeks extra off, and I'll say it's frustrating because I think the 300 would have been just the icing on the cake of his career. But let's face it, he doesn't really need to achieve anything else. He's achieved everything he can. So for me, just a proper champion.
Yeah. Remarkable man and remarkable career. Let's move on anyway. We're going to look at Tuesday's racing. James has picked out three races for us, and we'll get his best bets for the day on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, for all that talk about jumping and Cheltenham, James, you've picked out three races at Southwell.
Sunny Southwell, West Fosslos and Ayr are the alternatives, and neither would be what I'd be betting on tomorrow. But Sunny Southwell, easiest place, I think, for me to find winners. So, yeah, we've got three races at Southwell to preview.
Okay, the 305 is the first of them. This is a Class 5 handicap over 2 miles, a staying handicap on the all-weather fibre sand. Seven of them in the lineup here, and I suppose Sam 2 is quite interesting given the recent effort.
Yeah.
Much better, wasn't it, from Brian Elson runner?
No surprise. Sam 2, originally trained by Clive Britton. First run for Brian Elson's yard was backed off the boards, but came up against one that had another stable switch, TJB, who switched to Mick Appleby yard. And luckily, I napped TJB, and he came out on top on that occasion. That was really strong form because they're two very decent fibre sand horses. Up 2 pounds, he's 5 lengths clear of the third. Adir, who's back in fifth on that occasion, he's a solid all-weather performer, so I think that's very, very strong form. And I think he's got an excellent chance of going one better on this occasion. I think he was an unlucky loser in the fact that he just met another one that was well handicapped and had a stable switch, but he's got nothing of that calibre here. Kingscombe is a several specialist, but even his last run on the surface was a little bit disappointing when stepped up in class behind Love You Whatever. Back down to class five, he could be dangerous, but last few runs have been a little bit disappointing. Interesting one is Katie Gale, obviously a Mick Appleby runner that was sent off at favourite on his return from 6 months off a track last time out. Was beat 36 lengths behind Gilbert Duke, who runs in one of the later races. So that was really disappointing, and there's no real reason why it ran so bad. It was a little bit keen in front and didn't get home. That was over a mile and a half, so stepping up to 2 mile is, of course, an instance winner, but you have to really be a little bit concerned about Katie Gale. So that's the Mick Appleby runner probably out of the way. Rock of Ages did win a 2 mile race under Liam Jones. That was a lot lower grade than this. I think he could be hard at work a long way out and probably not good enough in this kind of grade. Mazovian got off a mark yesterday for Michael Chapman. He has got form at the track, but he's a little bit in and out. But no, I think it's a great opportunity for Sam to go one better after coming second to TJB the other day.
Great. Sam 2, the selection for James in the 305. The 335 is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs, 8 of them in the lineup, and quite an open race, James. Competitive race, in fact. What do you like there?
Good, strong field, as you, again, you'd expect for Southwell. We've got a fair few 5% specialists, and as always in these kind of races, you've got to have a look at what Mick Appleby runs, and Westminster is obviously going to be dangerous. Two runs on the 5%, second to patriotic. He was another bit of a course specialist. And then beat Kang Hei Fat Choi here at Seville 5 weeks ago. Up £5. Not quite as effective at Kelmsford City last time out, but different surface. There is a little bit of kickback there, but it still isn't quite the same as Fibersand. So back on the Fibersand. Draw 7's pretty good. You don't want to be drawn too low on the Fibersand. So I think Westminster's got a great chance. That fifth place next to his name may just put a few people off, but I think you can ignore that. Ali Rawlinson taking off £5. He's probably the one to be on, but there's plenty of alternatives. Kang Hei Fat Choi won next time out after coming second to Westminster. But at the weights, realistically, he's probably going to struggle to reverse the form. Two Moons, another one that Brian Ellison's picked up. He was second to Marciano, but beat a fair way last time, 5 lengths. So he does need to improve on that effort on Sunday. Norse Blues, David Barron's runner, has ability, but he's a little bit inconsistent. Kajali, who Andrew Mullen does ride, whether he's had a choice or two. Consistent, but perhaps a little bit high in the handicap. Pretty Bubbles behind Westminster the last couple of times. So, realistically, I think Westminster, back on the Fibersand. For Mick Appleby, he's got such a great record in these kind of races on the Fibersand. He's a selection.
Okay, Westminster for James. In the 3.35, the final race we're going to look at is the 4.40 at Southwell. This is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. Only six of them in the lineup, so maybe not the best each-way perspective to the race, but Gabriel the Duke might be a pretty short price favourite anyway.
He's going to be short priced. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Obviously, a course and distance winner, which makes him hard to beat around this kind of track. He did it very, very nicely the other day. Carlander, Mick Appleby, again, as we said, his horses do love the Fibersand, and this one won over course and distance last time out. So we've got two course and distance winners in opposition, but I do think Gabriel the Duke's still well handicapped off a mark of 70, and he can continue to progress, probably at the main expense of Carlander. Monzino, who runs in the race, he did manage to win the other day, but will he back that up? That is a question mark for him. Mishriff and Canadian Diamond don't look good enough. So, two horse race, but I do think Gabriel the Duke is the one to be on. So, yeah, a few course specialists in action. I think there'll be a fair few course winners at Seville tomorrow.
Okay, Gabriel the Duke, the final selection for James. Let's just have a summary of all three of them, if you'll just put them together in a nice little type for us.
Yeah, nap of the day tomorrow will be Sam 2 in the 3.05 at Seville. Unlucky to come against TJP last time out. He can make amends. 3.35, Westminster back on the Fibersand, back in the winner's enclosure. And fine, 4.30, Gabriel Duke can follow up his win a week ago over course and distance.
Fantastic. Good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Aaron Foss last over jumps and all-weather action at Southwell. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.